Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. We're so glad to be with you today, and we're getting ready to gather together around the Word of God. I love this time. I love to sit down before this microphone and before this audience of people that God has assembled. Yes, I believe in divine appointments, and I believe that if you are deciding right now in your heart to stay tuned to this Bible study time around the Word of God, that God has made that appointment for us to sit down together. I do not intend to just teach Scripture today. I intend to graze with the sheep. Hallelujah. I intend, as I share from the Word of God, to have that come into my own heart, my own mind, and renew again those great truths of Scripture that become the foundation for everything we become in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So this is far-reaching stuff. It reaches into eternity. Praise God. Amen. So we just pray that you will take time with us today. If you've been listening to the Good Gospel programming right here on WMAF, we're glad that now you can hear the gospel that inspired every single song of hope and praise and love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we're talking about a great subject today. What's so amazing about grace? Based on the Scriptures and the New and the Old Covenant, and particularly that great hymn that was written by John Newton when he was converted, in part of his sermon, he talked about the grace of God and wrote a song that told the story of grace and love, which is the gospel of Christ. Amen. And the title, as you well know, is Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Well, friend of mine, today we want to talk about what is so amazing about grace. Just before we do, if you would like to go to our website, we would invite you to come. Just type in THCOG, that stands for the Holy Church of God, based right here in Tampa, Florida, where I've been the senior minister for 38 years. And we also want you to know that everything on that website that is downloadable to iPod, MP3 player, Listen Live, music, Bible helps, sermons that span those years, recent editions of Let's Talk About Jesus, it is free. There is no charge, no strings attached, and we invite you to come and be blessed by the Word of God and the worship of God. Hallelujah. Amen. We're getting prayer requests from other countries coming to our website that have been there, and they believe in our faith in God, and they are asking us to pray in faith for their needs. And if you have a prayer request and you'd like to leave it on our website, there's a place that you can leave us a message. Once again, there are no strings attached, except we want to be a blessing and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with as many people as God will allow. Praise the Lord. So if you have your Bibles, get ready to turn with me to some Scripture. We talked last week about grace being amazing because our sins were judged in Jesus Christ and we are no longer condemned. And secondly, we're going to talk today about grace being amazing because God came down to us, Jesus, who was called Emmanuel, God with us. Literally, that God would condescend to come down to us that he might take on flesh and take our place at the cross. God the Son, Jesus of Nazareth. Someone said one time in a song, I think it was Dottie Rambo, that his steps did not begin at Bethlehem and they did not end at Calvary. That's what really threw those religious teachers of his day, because he said of himself that before Moses was, I am. He said, I existed before I came to this earth. I existed before I came to Bethlehem. Praise God. Amen. Jesus, God the Son, the second person of the Trinity. Praise God. Amen. He came down. He took on flesh, and He took our place at Calvary. So in that sense, the scripture actually went on to say, to wit, God was in Jesus Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. See, it's one thing to have a good man with a good heart and great mercy to lay down his life out of his goodness, but to have our Creator, our God, become our Savior, by giving Himself, by taking on flesh, that He might give Himself on the cross. 1 Timothy tells us this story, 3 and verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Ah, friend, there's no doubt about it. Jesus was God incarnate. Jesus took on flesh that He might take our place and take our punishment so we could be forgiven. Ah, friend, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is why grace is so absolutely amazing. That God, who created us, who we sinned against, would come down, take on flesh, so He could suffer our punishment. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18 and 19 says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. See, that's why we're on the air today. That's why we're preaching and teaching the Word of God through the media, because God has committed unto us as His children the ministry of reconciliation. He wants us to go and tell the gospel story to all who will listen, because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe upon Him would not perish but have everlasting life. Praise the Lord. I used to listen to that song in my early days of exposure to the gospel. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story, will be my theme in glory, to tell the old story of Jesus and His love. That's why the name of this broadcast is Let's Talk About Jesus. I still love to tell the old story, because that ancient story is not a myth. It's not a fable. It is an eternal truth, and it cannot just change your life, friend. It can change your destiny. If you're a Christian, you should never get tired of singing about God's amazing grace. It should stimulate us to love Him back for loving us that much. The Amplified said of verse 19, it was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with Himself, not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them and committing to us the message of reconciliation, of the restoration to favor. You know what the Bible says about you and I before we trusted Christ as our Savior? It said, everyone that believes not, everyone that hasn't experienced this gracious offer of forgiveness and reconciliation, everyone, the wrath of God, that means justifiable anger, God is a holy God. He cannot look over sin. He has to execute judgment and justice. This is justifiable anger. A holy God has the right to be angry. He has the responsibility, if you please, to be angry with those that sin and blaspheme His name. But I'm telling you something. This same God of justice and righteousness, this God doesn't want to harm anyone. He wants to save everyone. So He took on flesh. He came in the person of Christ. He hung on the cross to take our sins and the punishment for them, so that we might be reconciled, so that we might be accepted in Him. Praise God. That God would come, that God would do this for you and for me, is why grace is so absolutely astounding and amazing. Joseph Damien was a missionary to the Hawaiian Islands in the 19th century. In fact, he ministered to a leper colony on the island of Molokai. He was loved, he was even adored and revered by those lepers because he lived before them a life of sacrificial love. One day, before their daily time of worship in which he was going to lead them, Joseph Damien was fixing himself a cup of coffee. He spilled some of the hot water on his foot. It was a few moments later that he finally realized that he didn't feel anything, and his worst fear began to grip him. He poured more hot water on his foot. No sensation. This worst nightmare had come true. Joseph Damien began to weep before the Lord, and then he trudged off to the church to preach that morning. Nobody noticed it at first. Nobody noticed that he began his sermon differently. He always began his sermon the same way every day. He would address the congregation as, "My fellow believers." But that morning, he began by saying, "My fellow lepers." Joseph Damien could now identify completely, utterly, totally with his congregation. How much more was God willing to descend downward? I don't care what pit you are in at this moment, God is willing to come that low and meet you and me there. We are not celebrating the birth of an aloof God become flesh every Christmas. Not a God who is up there somewhere, who has wound up the universe and let it run on its own. Not some God who is pulling puppet strings. Not some God who is merely observing the agony and brokenness that you and I go through. No, a God who descends to the bloodiness and agony and even becomes sin for us. That, friend, is what grace is all about. That is what is so amazing about grace, that God would love you and He would love me that much. Praise God. And there's a reason that grace flows from this wonderful, mighty God that we serve. And it is simply because God is a merciful God. Mercy. Precedes grace. It's from mercy that grace comes forth. God is gracious to us and gives us grace because He is a merciful God. Hallelujah. I like what one translator says. He says in John Ensor's book, The Great Work of the Gospel, he examines the question, what motivates God to make the astonishing offer to forgive all of our sins? Taking his cue from Jonathan Edwards, Ensor says, it's all about God's mercy. God desires to make His mercy the apex of His own glory in the eyes of all creation. It's the ultimate reason for the celebration of the world, the creation, rather, of the world and the plan of redemption. It is the ultimate reason that we should believe that He is ready to do a great work of grace in us. God has mercy in his heart. Therefore, he grants grace to his people. He is a merciful God because he loved us. Have you ever seen a child acting up and said these words in your heart? I hope you didn't say them out loud. We don't know, no slapping going on and no fighting, verbal or otherwise. But have you ever seen a child say, "That is my child, I wear him out"? Well, maybe you would, maybe you wouldn't. One thing is for sure, you don't love that child like that mom or that dad. You don't love them like that. Now, love isn't permissive. There are children who need discipline, don't get me wrong, but I am saying that is not your flesh and blood. That is not your child. And you aren't near as merciful because you don't love like that parent loves. Oh, yes, yes, parents can let children go and spoil them. God is not that kind of parent, but he does have the kind of love that shows and grants mercy. Now, Peter kind of put mercy to the test. He said, "If my brother sin against me, how many times should I forgive him?" He thought he was choosing a big number. And he said, "Seven times?" And Jesus turned to him and said, "Yea, and 70 times seven if he asks you." Friend of mine, I want you to know that that's the kind of mercy. And oh, don't get that number 7 times 70, that 490 in your mind, and then you stop. He was using that 70 times 7, God's number for perfection, completeness. He was using that number to say, there is no end of my mercy. There is no searching and fathoming and measuring of my grace. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Venable, isn't there a point where God gives up? Only when the heart of man becomes so calloused and so hard that they will not ask that forgiveness. Friend, I want you to know today, if you've sinned against him, asked forgiveness, stumbled and fallen again, made that choice that you should not have made, and now the devil is telling you, God's had enough of you. God is done with you. God is through with you. You've sinned away your day of grace. You remember the 70 times 7. You come back to Christ. You come back to God. Hallelujah. You say, "Well, I don't want to fail him again." Well, come back to him, and this time mean business with him. I believe it's time we quit playing the game, the grace game. I believe it's time we come home and we love him and we serve him because of his amazing grace. We do not take advantage of that kind of love, but we exalt him for it. We love him for it. We serve him for it all the days of our life. Praise God. It is the ultimate reason that we should believe that he's ready to do a great work of grace in us. It's because God is a merciful God. Examining God's mercy takes us beyond the cross, where we not only see what God has done, but why he did it. It wasn't nails that held Jesus to that cross. It wasn't the power of the Roman Empire. It wasn't some great good in fallen man. It wasn't something we merited or deserved. It had to be immense mercy and incredible love. Mercy is an attribute of the character and nature of our great God. That's why he grants grace. That's why Noah in the Old Covenant found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Not grace as we know it after the cross, but God was gracious to him and to his family because God is merciful. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why he said, "Return to me, and I will return to you," to ancient Israel. Even when they sinned and rebelled, he said, "If you'll come back, I'm going to be gracious to you because I have mercy on you." Praise the Lord. And God has mercy on you and me today. In fact, the Bible said that we don't have a high priest in the new covenant which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us as his children come boldly before the throne of grace, that we might obtain grace and mercy to help in the time of any need. You can't approach this throne with your merit, with your goodness. That doesn't mean we shouldn't be good people as Christians. We shouldn't live righteous lives. We should, and He holds us accountable to do that. But that will not get you into the presence of a prayer-answering God. Amen. It's grace and mercy extended and accepted on our part that gives us the confidence to come before His throne, knowing that He is going to accept us in the Beloved, in His Son, because of what Christ has done at Calvary. I like 1 Chronicles in the Old Testament 21 in verse 13. And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let me fall into the hand of the Lord. For for very great are His mercies. Let me not fall into the hand of man. Very great are His mercies. Jeremiah would have despaired because of Israel's rebellion and God's corrective judgments in the land. But his faith rested on the great fact that he knew about the character and the nature of God. In Lamentations, I call it the book of the blues, he has prophesied the book of Jeremiah to Israel. Israel has not listened. They're going to be defeated in battle, carried off as slaves in Babylon. In Lamentations 3:21 through 24, when it looks like all is lost. And David says in the previous scriptures, when I consider the wormwood and the gall, my spirit is crushed within me, humbled, crushed in that negative sense of the use of the word humble, crushed within me. But he said, this I recall to mind in Lamentations 3:21. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. In a particular area here, faithfulness to show mercy. The Lord, he said then in verse 24, is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. Friend, when it looks hopeless, you can hope in God, because God is merciful and His mercies are new every day. That means every morning when the sun comes up, God is ready to grant grace to those who will call upon Him from a sincere heart. Praise God. There are no hopeless cases with God because of His mercy and His grace. And God will always act in accordance with His unchanging nature and character. God's mercies fail not, because He is faithful. There's hope in the darkest valley. No matter what the present trouble, even if our own sins have brought it upon us, even if we repent and return to God, God will act in mercy because He's faithful, unchanging in His character of love and mercy. Praise God. This is why grace is so very glorious, because it is absolute, unmerited favor. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saves us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. The quality of mercy is not strained, someone has said. It droppeth as gentle rain from heaven. These famous lines are for the Merchant of Venice by William Shakespeare, are true in every way. Mercy always comes down. It starts with God and moves to man. It begins in heaven and ends on earth. You don't bargain for mercy, because to make a bargain, you've got to have something to offer, and we have nothing to offer God. I don't mean to say that we can't offer Him our body, as the Scriptures challenge us as living sacrifice, that we can't offer our life to Him. But when we come to be forgiven, there's nothing of merit that we can offer Him to grant that. Jesus did what He did out of complete, pure mercy, granting saving grace to people like you and people like me. That's why I love that great song, Just As I Am, because it carries the essence of God's immense mercy and incredible grace. What a wonderful song, Just As I Am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee. O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot. O Lamb of God, I come. Mercy is not just for lost sinners, it's also for struggling saints. Every true child of God wrestles with the weaknesses of our own flesh. We need to always run to God when we falter, not ever run from God. That song goes on to say, just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fighting fears within and without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in Thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come. And finally, just as I am, Thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because Thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. The writer of that song was Miss Charlotte Elliott. She was visiting friends in the West End of London, and there met the eminent minister, Cesar Millan. While seated at supper, the minister said he hoped that she was a Christian. She took offense at this and replied she would rather not discuss that question. Dr. Millan said he was sorry if he'd offended her, but he always liked to speak a word for his master, that he hoped that the young lady would someday become a worker for Christ. When they met again at the home of a mutual friend 3 weeks later, Miss Elliott told the minister that ever since he had spoken to her, she had been trying to find her Savior, and that she now wished him to tell her how to come to Christ. Just come to Him as you are, Dr. Millan said. This she did, and went happily away. Shortly after, she wrote this hymn. And about these words her brother said, in the course of a long ministry, I hope I've been permitted to see some of the fruit of my labor, but I feel that far more has been done by a single hymn of my sister's. Just as I am, without one plea, but Thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. And today, I believe, because of God's amazing grace and because of the mercy that caused Him to grant that grace, today I believe God is speaking to somebody to come just like you are. Come to the foot of the cross. Come and look up and see how much God loves you today and the extent He was willing to go to save you. Come today. Would you do it right where you are? Would you bow your heart right now and invite Jesus to be your Savior? If you're a struggling Christian today and you have faltered, and you think you have stretched God's mercy to the limit, He could never forgive you and use you. I want you to remember the 70 times 7. I want you to come home. Come back and bow before Him. Grace is extended to you. Hallelujah. Well, we love you today. Come back next week, would you? And let's talk about Jesus.